Now, I thought I'd speak, if we could, a little bit about the nature of Kabbalah Satorah, what the experience of Kabbalah Satorah on maybe a different level. There used to be a magazine which I read as a young boy called Mad Magazine. I used to remember it, you know? Still put it out? I don't know.
Still read it.
Still read it. Can I borrow yours? So Mad Magazine had this wonderful section called Scenes We'd Love to See. And I thought to myself, there's a scene I would love to see. The Academy Awards in Los Angeles. An Academy Award, a winning speech by an actor who wins the Oscar for the best actor. And this is how Mad Magazine would present it. It would go something like this. Ladies and gentlemen of the Academy, I can't tell you what a tremendous pleasure it is to be standing here receiving this wonderful award from my peers. And of course, there's so many wonderful people here who helped me to make this tremendous achievement. And of course, I want to thank the producer and the director and all the cameramen and all the ladies in the prop department and the costume department. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, there's someone here tonight that I really have to thank more than anyone else. Ladies and gentlemen, someone without whose help none of this would have been possible, ladies and gentlemen. Someone so important, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank me. I can't tell you what a wonderful pleasure it was to work with me. I felt that me was there with me in every scene that me and me did together. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for me. Of course, they stand up there, and that's the world we live in. The world we live in is so focused on the me. Me. And that's our worldview. That's our worldview. We start from the inside out. We start with a world that looks like... The Navi says about Paro, Li ayo'or v'ani asisini. I made myself. The mabit, the hashkafer is shown of any person, and that's the Yetzer Hara really, is I am the center of the world. And unless a person works very hard on that, that's how he continues his entire life. Me. And the whole world we live in is focuses and strengthens that perception unless... And of course we have a secret weapon. The Jewish people have a secret weapon. It's called Shema Yisrael, and we'll come back. Shema Yisrael is the antidote to me. Whenever I travel in America, they have this thing. I don't think they have them in England, but nobody really. The people fly in England a little bit, not so much like in the States. In the internal flights in the States, from coast to coast or whatever, they have this thing. You can reach into your pocket, and they have this thing called the In-Flight Buying Guide. This is an amazing magazine. There are things in there you would never believe of. There's a nose tweezer for your pet poodle. A pair of silver monogrammed cufflinks for your pajamas. You have this little thing that sort of goes into your ketchup bottle that you sort of twirl round and round to get the absolute last microgram of tomato ketchup out of your... I have never seen a magazine so full of things I didn't need. And I realized, what is this teaching me? This magazine, and really all of advertising teaches me this, you're in need. You need this, you need this, you need this, you need this. It's the same message. Me and my needs are the center of the world. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Peches, which talks about Kabbalah Satorah. It says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was kofa ha-ha aleihem kegigis, Hashem held the mountain over the like a barrel, and he said, in tekablu ha-Torah mutav, if you accept the Torah, fine. In love, sham tiuk for aschem. That is going to be your burial place. It says, as the Moda Rabbi Yeraisa, that's the biggest get-out clause, that's an offer we couldn't refuse. Nevertheless, at the time of Purim, we went back and we were mekablu ha-Torah. The Tosfos on the spot asked Akasha, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu hold the mountain over them? After all, we said Na'asev and Nishma. What was the point? If we'd already said Na'asev and Nishma, what was this necessity for this force majeure that the mountain should be held over our heads? We'd already said yes. So he says the Teretz over there, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was concerned that when push came to shove, and the Eish HaGadol, whatever that is, some thing we can't imagine, the actual fireworks, as it were, of Sinai would start to take place, that the Jewish people would get cold feet and they'd back out, and therefore it was necessary to give them a little push. The Maharal asked a couple of three kashas on this. So first of all, it's very difficult to believe. The everlasting praise of the Jewish people is we are the ones who said Na'asev Nishma. That's going to be our shvach throughout all of the generations. We're the ones who said Na'asev Nishma. According to Tosfos, it comes out that really, you know, that Na'asev Nishma was not so geschmack. Really, at the end of the day, we really needed to be forced into it. So what's the Na'asev Nishma? We're the Na'asev Nishma? No! You had to get pushed, you had to have the mountain. A second kasha Tosfos says, if that was the point that, so to speak, that at the point that we were going to back out, so why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu holding the mountain over us now? Let's wait until it looks like we're backing out. Right now the Jewish people are gung-ho, we want the Torah, now to the Mishma. Why are we getting the mountain now? The timing's all wrong. Wait until it looks like there's some problem of backing out, and then hold the mountain. The third kashi, he says, the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, that says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu went to all of the nations of the world, and they had a taina, you never held the mountain over us. If you'd held the mountain over us, we'd have also accepted the Torah. This makes sense, no sense, says the Maharal, according to Tosfos. Getting the mountain held over you is a subset of saying Na'aseh V'Nishma. If you say Na'aseh V'Nishma, and it looks like you're going to back out, then you get the mountain. They never said Na'aseh V'Nishma. So according to Tosfos, how was it? How do you understand that Gemara in Avodah Zarah? How is it that the nations of the world, the Ummah Sa'olam, had any kind of taina on Hashem? You never held the mountain over us. You never said Na'aseh V'Nishma. As a result of this, the Maharal says an amazing yesod in the understanding of Ha'asina, and I'll try and put it into my own words. He said, it's not true. The Jewish people were never going to back out. The Jewish people, the shvach of the Jewish people, Na'aseh V'Nishma, is our eternal praise. There was no chashash of that retraction. He says basically that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain of the Jewish people was for another reason entirely. We have to understand what Har Sinai is. Har Sinai was not just the giving of a set of laws. Har Sinai was an experience which was unique in the history of the world. All of the days of creation, Yom Echad, accepted for a different reason. The days of creation, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i, Yom Chamishi, there's only one of them that's called Yom Hashishi. There's only one Hashishi, and Rashi says over there, it's because this Hashishi, the sixth, is alluding to another Hashishi, the sixth of Sivan, the date of Kabbalah Satorah. And in some way the world was incomplete, was not in its state of final completion until Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma at Sinai. That's why Hashishi, that's the sixth of Sivan, is really the end of creation. Up to that point, even though the physical world is created, it's lacking some solidity, some completion. It's not really there. It's not really there. It's still real faith. Says the Maharal, if it's true that the world's completion happens with Klal Yisrael says Na'aseh V'Nishma, it is impossible for something which is the will of Hashem, on which the whole of the existence of the world is holy, it's impossible for that to be with the volition of man. It cannot be Barotzen Ben Adam. The reason why that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah Bal Korchoi is because the world has to be. Just like the world has to be, because that's the Ratzon of Hashem, so the Torah has to be. And something which is has to be, these are his words, something which is muchrach is mechuyav. Something which has to be given in a way which has to be. The Torah had to be given bal korchoi, because just like the world has to exist, the Torah has to be given in a way like in the same way. It cannot be that something which has to be can be voluntary. And that, he says, is the Yesoid of the mountain. That's why we got the mountain held over us. Let's take this a stage further. Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibil Torah miSinai uMasri leYeshua. Yeshua leZakenim, Zakenim leNeviim, Neviim leMasrua leAnshei Knesset haGedolah. Haim Amru shalosh Advarim v'chule v'chule. Moshe kibil Torah miSinai uMasrua leYeshua. There's something very strange about this pasuk. We see that what happens subsequently, that there's an idea of Masura. He's giving it over. Masura li Yoshua. Yoshua li Zakenim. The first step, how is ever different? Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Did Moshe really get the Torah from a mountain? I should have said, Moshe kibel Torah mi Hashem. Why does it say Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai? Maral and others Oymed on this point, and really what they learn out from this is that there's something very much deeper going on here. Virtually everything that we know, our entire knowledge base, if you like, is a product of deduction. Everything we know is really plugged into things that we already know. If you tell me that Brazil won the World Cup in 1966, which I think they did, right? England? Sorry. Can I carry on? If you saw that Brazil nearly won, it was Germany, 1970. Okay, sorry. So if you tell me that Brazil won the World Cup in 1970. That statement makes no sense whatsoever, unless I have some very important prior information. I have to know what a Brazil is, I have to know what a cup is, I have to know what a world is, and I have to know what this indecipherable hieroglyphic 1970 means. Everything that we know because we know other things, and we can plug that marechet, that system of knowledge, into something that already exists there. The question is, though, if our whole point of deduction, if cognition consists of connection, connecting previous ideas, it's axiomatic that there has to be some point which we start from. And if our whole mental process is really a process of connection, it's really like a car, in my days, I remember people used to still have a crank handle when the electric motor used to fail, which was quite often in those days. Where is the crank handle of cognition? If everything we know is as a result of association, deduction, comparison, elimination, it's not like this, it is like this, if everything plugs into a previous system that's already there, where is that first point of cognition? Where does it come from? And the answer is that first point of cognition, that first point of knowledge, is really above and beyond every other piece of intellectual information that we have. There's one piece of knowledge that we have, which is totally unassailable, which is totally unprovable, and doesn't need proof. Something that you can't debate with me about. Most things we can argue about, we can discuss, we can agree, we can disagree. There's one piece of knowledge about which nobody can dispute with me, and that is the knowledge of myself. The knowledge of my own existence, my sense of I, is something which is not open to intellectual debate. I'm not talking about my own sense of I clapiats me. My sense of me as I am, as I, my sense of existence, my knowledge that I'm here, that I exist. Existence itself is not something which is open to dispute. It's not open to. Nobody has to prove to me I'm here, and nobody can argue with me that I don't exist. I, that sense, that piece of knowledge, is something which is beyond all argument. It's unnecessary to prove it. It rests aside as a piece of perception, unique, discrete, above everything else. On Har Sinai, when the Jewish people, when our souls left our bodies, Hashem replaced us. There was an empowering dynamic in man up to the point of Har Sinai. That was through a thing called Na'aseh Adam. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu made man, the identity, the sense of self, the sense of existence which we're talking about now, came from the power of that Pasuk Na'aseh Adam. When the Klal Yisrael died at Har Sinai, that left, and it was replaced with something else. It was replaced with Anochi Hashem Elokeichem. Anochi is the notricon, Ana Nafshis Kesavis Yehavis. I have written myself into the Torah. I, that existential knowledge of myself, the existential knowledge of existence, is what Hashem regave us at Har Sinai. It's axiomatic. We've seen throughout the generations, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, that Klal Yisrael has been called upon to be Moisa Nefesh in many, many times and situations. What is it that allows our people to be able to be Moisa Nefesh to the extent? We're not talking about people necessarily of great intellect. Pasha the Yidden who are prepared to give up their souls. Where does that come from? We're not a people like our Meshuggah and our cousins who are trained to this idea of suicide. Punkt verkehrt. And yet, when it comes to the push, a Jew instinctively understands that that's what I have to do. Where does that power come from? That power comes from Sinai. The Gemara in Sukkah, Hillel says, "Im ani kan, hakol kan." If I'm here, everything is here. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a kind of rather conceited statement. One has to understand that, of course, that's also one of Hashem's names. The name Ani is one of Hashem's names. What did Hillel mean by this? As he said, I have no doubt of my own existence. I am here, I know I'm here, but I know also I'm not going to be here forever. There's a contradiction here. I sense existence as something which is continuous, which is eternal, and yet I know, I'm sure of my own mortality. I look around, I know people die. The word was here without me and will continue without me. Rather, this is really the point I wanted to get to. My grasp of my own existence includes with it the knowledge that I am just one facet, one revelation that Hashem has chosen to make of the Metzius. This is Be'etzem Emuna. This is what Emuna is. My grasp of myself, of my own self sense of who I am, as just one facet, one tiny, tiny revelation of the Metzius. And therefore a Jew, when he's called to give up his soul, give up his life, understands that all he's doing is just returning that Metzius to the Metzius. Really, this is what the job of the Kriya Shema is. And this is our weapon against the world we live in which is basically the world of Paro. We're still in Mitzrayim. We have to come out every year. That's where we have Pesach. The world of Paro, the world we live in, the world of materialism, the world of I, the world of me, which says, Li hayo'ov ani asisini. I made myself. I have to be. I am the Mechayev HaMetzius. We take that ani and we give that back to Hashem. We say, really, the ani that I feel, my sense of myself is really my connection with the Metzius Be'etzim. When we say Hashem Echad in Krishna, one of the kavanas that we're supposed to have is Ein Od Milvadoi. Now, of course, this is something that we can't really live by, and we have to retreat from that with Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Goel. That Echad contains in it, I really, on the ultimate level, don't exist, because my sense of my own identity is really the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what we're supposed to do when we say Echad. Rots v'shav, you're supposed to think there and come back. But of course, a person can't live like this, and this has led to taking that principle too far, led to many, many mistakes. Shabtai si. But for that split second, twice a day, we have to connect with that reality. That my whole sense of existence is no more than an expression of Hashem's rotzen in the world. This is another way that we can maybe understand a Sifri that says on the Pasuk, Keil Emuna Ve'in Ovo. Keil Emuna. Sifri says over that Hashem believed in the world and He created it. I forget the exact Lashon. He believed in the world and created it. That's a strange kind of idea, that He believed in the world and He created it. Keil Emuna, usually we understand it means Hashem is faithful. Faithful to Peschah, the Oynish is faithful. But on a deeper level, Keil Emuna means that Hashem created something called Emuna. And He put into that Metzias something else called the world. Meaning, my existence in the world, my real existence in the world, is to create to that bigger Ma'arechet. But understanding that the world that I live in is really an illusion. And really what's going on is my work, my avoda, is to connect back to that real Metzius, the bigger Metzius. When we think Ein Od Milvado, we have to reverse the paradigm. Shem Echad Ein Od Milvado. It's very easy, and we live in a world where we're taught Ein Od Milvadi, me, what I need. Krishma Matan Torah, and that's really what it means, Ma'amad HaSinai. That's the pshat. Ma'amad HaSinai means my ma'amad, my sense of existence, that is from HaSinai. What happened to HaSinai when the Kodesh Baruch Hu put our neshamas back into us, we were powered by a different dynamic. That's the root of our Muna, Munis Yisrael. That's what allows us to connect. That's the power of Krishna. We live in a world, some of us more, some of us less, where we're constantly bombarded by the biggest fear that there can be, which is we're the center of existence. Now, if you ask an intelligent person, are you really the center of existence? They'll say, no, but living like that, understanding that everything I am is no more than an expression of what Hashem wants in this world, is the secret of Emuna, the yisod of Emuna. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be mezakeh us that we can connect with this idea, to understand that all our lives are really no more than an expression of His Ratzon, and through that we should bring the Geula Shleima. Amen.